Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Hello, my name is Debbie from NDIS Property Australia, and you're listening to the SDA Housing Podcast, a show that explains, highlights, guides, and brings awareness about all things SDA in this ever-changing NDIS world. This is our monthly SDA Unlocked episode, where we delve into the supply and demand data for specialist disability accommodation in different areas around Australia. This month, I have a special guest speaker with me, Lorraine. Welcome, Lorraine.
Thanks, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
The reason Lorraine is joining me today is because we're going to be talking about the Riverland area of South Australia. And Lorraine is actually from South Australia, so she's got a bit of a soft spot there and knows the area well. We've been doing a lot of research into this area for various reasons over the past few months. And so I've invited Lorraine to give us a bit more of a on-the-ground kind of intel on what's really going on there in terms of the supply and demand for specialist disability accommodation specifically. So, Lorraine, maybe firstly, if you want to just give us a little bit of a background on your history in South Australia and specifically in this area.
Absolutely. So I'm from Adelaide originally, moved to Queensland just over 10 years ago now. So got a very soft spot for Adelaide and South Australia in particular. I know you're going to be talking about a particular area that's close to my heart, and that's the Riverland area, which is on the River Murray. So my partner grew up and had several businesses in Berry, one of the five towns in that area, and still have a family that live in Berry and in Renmark. So yeah, we used to go up there quite often. It's a beautiful area. All of the towns actually on the River Murray. So we've got Barmer, Berry, Loxton, Renmark and Waikouria, the main towns in that area. They used to call it the Fruit Bowl. I don't know if they still do. A lot of Australia's fruit comes out of that area, including grapes for wine and olives and almonds and lots of citrus fruit in that area. Plus it's on the main Sturt Highway between Adelaide and Sydney. So a lot of people go through that area, coming and going through from Sydney to Adelaide and vice versa. So, yes, it's called the Eastern Gateway into South Australia.
Great. Thanks, Lorraine. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to start off with giving a little bit of the NDIA data, but what we know is some pretty significant intel on the ground from a provider we're working closely with. So we're also going to explain what they've told us about the demand in the area. So just to quickly run through the data, and this is taken off the most recent quarterly statistics that the NDIA published, probably came out about a month ago now. So it's current as to the 31st of December. Now, in the SA3 area called Murray and Mallee, which does incorporate those suburbs, those towns, that Lorraine mentioned, we have 39 SDA enrolled properties, which might seem like, yeah, a few for, you know, regional areas, but 35 of those are legacy and existing. And if you've listened to any of my episodes before, those are either the legacy is the group homes, six and above participants that will be phased out. The existing, a lot of those are basic, so they don't even meet the minimum requirements for improved livability, or they're just not fit for purpose. They don't meet the new build design specifications. So they're not adequate housing, and the participants who are living in those will need to move. So we've currently only got a total of four new build properties in the entire area, which is not a lot. But if we go back to the enrolled properties, 39, there's actually 93 places in those 39. So a lot of them are in group homes. You've got six places in the Legacy. You've got 26 places in 4 and 5 resident group homes. So that's quite significant. On the demand side, the data is currently showing us 76 participants with SDA funding or an SDA need, of which 49 are living in an SDA. And remember, most of those are going to be living in existing or legacy. And 27 are currently searching. That is the data. Yes, we know there is some pipeline. We don't know what the specific pipeline is in the SA3 region. We only know what the pipeline is for the greater SA4, which also includes the areas of Kangaroo Island, Fluro, is that how they say it?
Fluro Peninsula.
And the Limestone Coast. So it's a very large area. And
huge area.
That SA4 pipeline really is quite irrelevant when it comes to looking at the more regional areas like this. So anyway, the data is telling us 93 places for 76 participants. However, the majority being older style homes that are not fit for purpose and not suitable. Now, on to our on-the-ground intel, because that sounds like there is kind of an equilibrium and, yes, old properties, but at least the participants have housing at the moment. We might need a few houses. This is not correct. We are working closely with a provider who is based in Mildura, but they have participants living in all of those areas, Renmark, Berry, Loxton, that Lorraine was just discussing. So we've been talking closely with them. They are desperate for properties. Can you tell us more?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So I've been talking to, as you said, one of the providers on the ground there just to find out a bit more information. I mean, figures are great, but I like to find out what is actually happening as well on the ground. And he tells me that in those areas I mentioned before, specifically the Riverland, not so much the whole of the peninsula, the Murray Mallee, there is no SDA homes that he's aware of in those 5 rural areas. So at the moment, what his staff's having to do is to place them in caravan parks, motels, in old, group homes, other not fit for purpose accommodation for these people. He was really desperate to get some more SDA homes up there and said that he would be confident in filling them very, very quickly because there is such a desperate need in those 5 areas I mentioned before.
Yeah. I also, in notes and discussions with him, he mentioned that that he has on his books 30 or 40 participants that are expected to qualify for high physical support funding in Berry, Renmark and Loxton. A lot of these not funded for SDA, or probably most of them are not funded for SDA because, and here's a bit of a catch-22, because there's no homes for them to move into, their support coordinators are not going through the process of applying for the funding because that's a very time-consuming, expensive process. Participants need to have funding in their plan for support coordination to pay the support coordinators. And if they don't have that funding there, if they've used up all of their support coordination funding, a lot of support coordinators won't even do any work for them. They might have to wait until their new plan comes into place. So this is a whole other added complication into the process of a participant applying for funding. So either they don't have the funds there to go through that process for a year or two, or they just don't bother because there's no houses. Why bother spending that money now and that time and effort to get reports from the OTs and other health professionals, reams and reams of documentation and reports to submit to the NDIA for the NDIA to assess their eligibility and hopefully give them approval for SDA. So basically what we're saying is there are a lot of participants who they know need SDA that don't yet have it in their plan, which is why they're not showing in the NDIS data. So that's one of the things that we have found out from our provider down there.
Yeah, working with someone on the ground, absolutely.
So he also told us about the fact that they've gone out and purchased land.
In that whole area, there's some pockets of land that they purchased, which again is rare as well. Getting land doesn't get released very often, so...
So I believe that they've purchased all the available blocks of land in Renmark.
Yes.
Those properties we were selling, they've all been sold now. There are some more properties coming available in Loxton and Bury potentially. So basically what they're doing is they're any potential blocks of land or even properties that are suitable for a knockdown rebuild, they are looking at taking on because they need these properties so desperately. So what we're saying here is literally that these are almost guaranteed participant properties. We're never going to give a guarantee, and anyone who does give a guarantee, you need to be very wary of. However, in speaking with this provider and their desperate need, knowing that there are no other SDA builds underway in the process in the area, that there's just nothing else out there for these participants. Once these properties are built, then they will get tenanted. They're not even asking for two tenant properties. They're asking for three tenant properties because they have such a dire need, even though we know that across Australia, as a rule, two tenant properties are preferred by both providers and participants, but they just need the rooms. So they need to build three tenant properties and they will fill them. So that is what they're telling us. Yes, there's 30 to 40 participants who probably have HPS funding because it's going to come into their plan, but there's also a significant number with IL funding. So there will be a mix of different participants in these homes. I think the other issue he was telling us about was with the available land. One of the complications, you might say, oh, surely there's land out there. We're now looking at the requirement of putting fire sprinklers in all of the properties now because we're expecting this to be mandatory in the future across Australia. Now, when you're putting in fire sprinklers and building to class three, water pressure is quite an issue. And being a rural area, regional area, a lot of the blocks just don't have the right sort of water pressure. So a lot of blocks that might otherwise be suitable are not for that factor. Hence why it's just so hard to find properties that are suitable and why there'll be less SDA being developed in the future because there's just not enough land, there's not enough properties to build how many that are needed. So again, this is an indication that what will be built will be tenanted very quickly and with a good level of funded tenants.
Debbie, what you mentioned too before about, you know, mainly people looking for two-bedroom properties in this particular area because there is such a shortfall, you're right there. He said that he's very confident in being able to fill three bedrooms. But what I noticed on the plans that we had a look at before is that they've made these homes really spacious as well. It's not just a matter of, oh, we'll add another bedroom. They've made them very spacious with, you know, two or three living areas, large alfresco area. So nothing like a group home at all. They look really lovely from what I've seen on the plans.
Absolutely. So something else that he also mentioned was, well, I think we asked one time, I was speaking to him recently, about the actual build because they're literally coming to us with the packages. They've found the land. They've purchased the land. They've got two builders that they're working with in the area who are very experienced. They've gone through and done their due diligence. The builders have come up with the plans that are certified SDA plans. And we said, well, you know, regional, it's going to be expensive. Yes, it is. But what's your time frame? And we were quite surprised that it's very, very much competitive with city times, builds in cities. We're looking at a two-month BA building approval and 8 to 9 months build time. So obviously they've done what they can to ensure that the time to completion is as quick as possible, since they have such a demand. But yeah, all going well, you know, you could potentially have a property up and running and ready to get tenants in within about 12 months. So yeah, so this is going off the whole SDA unlocked subject a little bit, but I think because this is so specific that we did want to cover this, we have, as I said, the original Renmark packages that we did have sold. As of today, I believe the last one was sold, but we do expect to have a few more packages coming through. So if anyone is interested in what is probably one of the best possible guarantees for tenancy you're going to get in Australia with participant-led packages in an area that has a very high demand and a very, very low supply, not necessarily what the NDIA data is showing, but what our intel is telling us, then the Riverland area is definitely worth looking at.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. So we were talking about the builders before. The good news is that those five Riverland towns that I mentioned are with only, you know, 10, 15 minutes drive from each other as well. And then you've got the huge Riverland General Hospital in Bury, which is in the centre of all of those towns. So, you know, the infrastructure's there, hospitals, shopping centres, everything's there. So if anybody's actually listening to this that knows anyone that's got land in that area, please reach out to us, and you never know, it might just be suitable. We'll get it checked for the water pressure, et cetera. But
Or properties that they're willing to
knock down, rebuild. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, keep us in mind. And it is a lovely area. They call it the Mediterranean of South Australia because the climate's beautiful. That's why they grow a wide variety of fruit and olives and grapes and things. Sounds like I'm describing a wine platter, but it is a lovely area.
It does sound beautiful, yeah. But at the end of the day, we know that investors are looking for a safe investment option. And from our recent due diligence and research on this, I think this definitely qualifies for a very safe investment in a regional area, which a lot of people are not particularly keen on. They want the cities because of the capital growth or whatnot. But just keep in mind that most of the big cities now are really getting overbuilt, especially in the outlying areas, the new estates where the land was cheaper. Some areas we're seeing quite a concerning oversupply. So you're going to need to spend a lot more money in closer to the cities to get a viable investment. Your alternative is to start looking at the regional areas like this where we know you're going to have a very safe and long-term investment.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it might, you know, cost a little bit more being in a regional area, but remember we're looking at 3-bedroom plus OOAs in that area, so highly likely that you'll have 3 tenants living there. So definitely worth looking at it from a yield point of view, and obviously, you know, great social aspect of it as well, helping a lot of locals get out of those caravan parks and old motels and into a fit for purpose SDA dwelling.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I think that pretty much covers it. So, yeah, if you're listening to this and you are still on the search for an area to invest in and some potential properties, please reach out to myself or Lorraine or one of the other team here to talk more about the South Australian and particularly the Ribland packages that we will have coming up shortly to sell. So thanks for listening all, and see you on the next one.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.